speaking on this program is Brother Kevin P.
Today in our lesson, I want to begin by saying the greatest blessing we have is to be a Christian. The greatest blessing that God sent into this world is Jesus Christ. And as a result of Christ dying at Calvary's cross, and you and me as Christians being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, that by far will outweigh any blessing that you and I will ever be able to experience in this world. In that, not only do we have forgiveness of sin, but as a result of what God has accomplished in Christ, conjoined with our obedience to His will, we have a relationship with God, and you and I have hope, knowing that if we live our lives faithful before God, that in the end, we will be able to dwell eternally with our God, our Heavenly Father, who loves us so much and whom you and I love. But you know, today, while I talk about the greatest blessing we have is salvation in Christ, I believe that that which runs hand in hand with it, the second greatest blessing, if you would, that we have, is God's inspired Word. God has not only given us salvation in Christ, but friends, our God has communicated His Word to us that we can trust is from Him. Why? Because it has withstood the test of time, and therefore we know that indeed it is not a man, but rather it has come down from heaven, and God has spoken to us and still seeks to lead us according to the things we find in the Bible today. As we think, though, about God's Word, we understand is that it is through God's Word that you and I are able to understand the type of life that our Creator, that our God, wants us to live during the time in which we are here. How are we able to understand the will of God? It's not that the Word jumps out at us and that it overtakes us and that it instantly becomes a part of our life. It's also not possible that we lay it under our pillow and that we sleep on it and that somehow that it absorbs into the mind and hence we are able to live according to that standard. But rather, friends, we are able to understand God's message and to live thereby by reading and studying God's Word on a day-in and day-out basis. Not only by our reading and studying of the Scripture can we understand the Bible, but friends, also, God wants you and me to understand that His Word must be taught. It is indeed the inspired Word of God. It is necessary for us to understand the Bible in order for us to gain a relationship with Him, in order for us to maintain a relationship with Him, in order for us to have an eternal relationship with our God. But friends, God's Word must be taught in order for it to have an effect upon the lives of us, as well as for it to have an effect upon the lives of individuals in this world. As we think about God's Word being taught, God teaches us this necessity in a number of ways. To begin with, God tells us that the church is a teaching institution. Some 8 centuries before Jesus came into the world, Isaiah spoke with reference to the establishment of the body of Christ. He said that God would establish His house, that it would go forth from Jerusalem. And what does He say with reference to what God will do whenever His house is established? He says He will teach us His ways. Beginning at Pentecost, whenever the Lord's church was instituted, God identified from that point forward is that if you want to have a relationship with Him, if you want to be counted amongst His special people, is that you will of necessity have to be taught with reference to the way of God. John identifies the words of Christ in John chapter 6, verses 44 and verse 45, where he says is that those who are drawn unto God are able to have a relationship with Him. And who are those who are drawn unto God? If you read from John chapter 6 and verse 45, he says that they are taught of God, and therefore they are drawn unto Him. by teaching God's will, by teaching the Bible to mankind, man is able to wake up and to see the sin that is in their life. And as a result of seeing the sin in their life and the love of God, they are then drawn to God, to an obedience unto the will of God. When we think about teaching God's will, friends, today, I want us to understand that Jesus Christ is indeed the master teacher. From the time in which Christ began to reach out in His personal ministry, we see is that He was focused upon God's will. We understand is that He was also looking to the souls of mankind. In fact, we understand from Luke chapter 19 and verse 10 that His sole purpose in coming was to seek and to save those who were lost. And as you look with reference to His purpose, to seek and to save the lost, and the way in which He interacted with His fellow man, constantly Jesus was teaching people about the will of our God. He wanted man to understand not only that there is a God in heaven, but that this God who has created us, that He is eternal in His existence, and that He has communicated His will unto mankind. And of course, Christ, while He was here, He was able to communicate God's will in a very special and real way because He pre-existed in heaven with God as God. But friends, during the time in which He was here, He sought diligently to make sure that everyone understood exactly what God would require of them, not only during that time frame, but of which God would require under the Christian dispensation or time. And in fact, the people who heard Jesus Christ teach, they were astonished at His teaching. We learn this in the book of Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through verse 29, where the Bible says that the reason that they were amazed at His teaching is because He taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Well, what did Jesus do then whenever He was here in teaching? Not only did He come to teach the will of God, but friends, also the Bible tells us is that our Lord trained His apostles to go out and also to teach. As He taught these men the importance of teaching others, He also gave them a commission, which today we identify as the limited commission. There is the Great Commission that we're going to talk about here in just a few minutes, wherein that there's a universal effort. But in the limited commission, as Jesus has assigned unto the apostles and to the apostles only, they were to go out into Jerusalem. And as they went out into Jerusalem, guess what it was that they were to do? They were to teach the Word of God, the will of God before the Jews. But also He understood that not everyone would be receptive to these men and their teaching. And therefore He says that whenever you come to people who will not hear you, who will not listen to the words, He says, dust the dust off your feet and go on to the next house, to individuals who are willing to listen to the teachings of our Lord. And friends, not only did God give the limited commission, God also gave the Great Commission. The Great Commission, as I said just a moment ago, is a universal effort wherein that God expects you and me. Not only did He expect the apostles in the first century church, by all means, that is in the forefront of who that was delivered unto, but also God expects you and me as Christians to go out each and every day to proclaim to the lost and dying world about the salvation that God extends to humanity through Jesus Christ our Lord, through the shedding of His blood, conjoined with our obedience unto Him in baptism, and then also a commitment to live our lives faithful before Him. In regard to what we find with the Great Commission, God wants us to understand is that in order for it to be effective, we must speak up. It is a verbal thing. God wants you and me to understand that we, in reaching out to make disciples, that we must teach them the will of God. But also, after they obey the gospel, we must teach them all things that God commands us to do as His children. As we think about, Christ has trained the apostles. He's given the Great Commission to reach out, to teach others about the will of God. Then what do we find to be characteristic about the first century church? The first century Christians understood exactly what it was that God expected out of them. Now, granted, I'm going to say is that not everyone participated in it. Why? Because it's the same even today. Even though that many people understand what God commands us to do, not everyone participates, but that doesn't make it right. It didn't make it right then, nor does it make it right today. But what we find is that the church launched out to begin with into the streets of Jerusalem, preaching and teaching the Word of God. In fact, the Bible identifies with us, as you read from Acts chapter 8 and following, is that they went into Judea and Samaria. And in fact, they even went beyond that, going unto, the King James says, the uttermost parts of the earth. They went everywhere, preaching and teaching God's Word. So much so, that by the time in which the Apostle Paul had wrote to the saints at Colossae, in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23, says that every creature under heaven had heard the message of God proclaimed. Why did these individuals understand that they needed to get out and to teach God's will? Because the Bible tells us that saving faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Well, in order for people to hear the Word of God, what must mankind do? What must Christians do in order to accomplish that? Usually, people will not sit down and just simply read the Bible. That is lost souls. Saved souls ought to do that every single day, correct? But lost souls, they don't have that habit. They don't understand the importance of doing that. And for that reason, then, I believe Paul identifies, beginning in Romans chapter 10, verses 10 and following, is that those who are going to hear the gospel proclaimed, it comes by way of a preacher. And friends, the word preacher, as it is used contextually there, is not talking necessarily about me as a preacher, but about us as preachers or teachers every day reaching out to mankind to sow the seed of the Word of God, hoping and praying then as we're going out sowing the seed that it will land upon, or that it will fall upon good soil, and that it will bring forth a product. You see, people who learn the truth of God's Word are those who obey the gospel. People who don't know God's Word, they don't know to begin with that there is a God. And even if they would believe that there is a God, they're not going to understand the plan of salvation. So therefore, a lot of times, and this is where denominations come in, the denominational world says that you're able to be saved by faith only. And therefore, that what you've got to do is believe and to accept Jesus Christ into your heart and say some sort of a sinner's prayer and God will forgive you. And friends, that's not the truth. The Bible identifies in James chapter 2 and verse 24 that we're not saved by faith only. And nowhere in the Scripture do we find an uttering of a sinner's prayer by an alien sinner. But what we do find is that every time that one becomes a Christian, whenever mankind is able to have their sins forgiven and added unto the church, they are baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. How do people understand this? By you and me as Christians teaching the gospel. And whenever the gospel is taught to mankind, then they obey the Lord in baptism. If their heart is right, and if they also love the Lord with all of their heart, soul, and mind, they're going to do what God commands and commissions mankind to do. And then at the same time, whenever people obey the gospel, then we're dealing with what today we call a new convert, a babe in Christ. They don't know a whole lot about what the Bible teaches, but what they do know is that their sin separated them from God, and that God commands man to be baptized in order to be forgiven. And now, though, as they have put Christ on in baptism, they're forgiven, and they're added by the Lord into the church, they have a whole lot of learning to do. Now, granted, they have a personal obligation, and I'm going to talk about that later on. But also, not only are they obligated to learn from the Bible, to study it, you and I also have an obligation by God to continue to teach these individuals. In Matthew chapter 28, a passage we alluded to just a moment ago, and verse 20, he says that after baptism, you and I, as Christians, here's what he says, teaching them to observe all things that I command you, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world or the end of the age. We must continue to teach these individuals so that they will grow in their understanding of God as well as in their love for God. So that they will grow to the point that they will be rooted and grounded in the truth, not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. So that they will grow to the point to where not only do they have faith in God, but friends, that faith will lead them unto faithfulness, to live their life committed to God unto the very end, until Jesus Christ, our Lord, returns. You see, who's responsible for doing this teaching? The Bible says mature saints must teach these new babes all things. And therefore, you and I as Christians, as mature Christians, also ought not only to understand the obligation we have to teach these individuals, but that also ought to lay upon us a motivation, should it not? To say, I need to know the Bible for myself. If I'm obligated to teach others, then I need to know it for myself. I need to make sure that I spend time every day digging into the Bible, studying it from the front cover to the back cover, making sure that I understand not only that it's God's Word and understanding the basic principles that are found therein, but I need to understand the meatier matters. Why? Well, because God's going to require those things of us in life. But friends, God's also, He's going to require us as Christians to teach others those meatier matters, weightier principles that are found and established in and through His inspired message to us. You see, the Bible tells us that Christians train others who then will be able to train others. It's an ongoing system that God has established. As I thought about this, I thought about Genesis chapter 1 and verse 11, where when God created plant life, He says that He created each plant as seed within itself to reproduce. And friends, as Christians, God wants you and me to understand that within us is the seed of God that is there to reproduce other Christians, that whenever that Word is sown into their lives, also they will understand not only the seriousness and significance of their relationship with God, but also of their role in the church to teach others, so that others that they teach will then in like figure pick up the baton, if you would, as it is passed off or handed off to them. And they also then will go forth preaching and teaching God's Word on a continual basis. And God tells us that every member should want to teach souls about the Lord. Why should we want to teach others about the Lord? I think that we ought to want to teach others about the Lord because of the forgiveness that we have received. Amen? We ought to be motivated. There ought to be this fire burning within each and every one of us that says, you know, I have been forgiven and I can't wait to go out and to tell others about the saving grace of God that He has bestowed upon me in my obedience to Christ in baptism. We ought to have a fire lit under us to where they can't keep us quiet about it. Friends, also, we ought to want to tell others, to teach others, to proclaim God's message to others, knowing the terror of the Lord. Knowing that someday these souls that are lost will not have the hope of heaven unless you and I speak up and teach them the will of God. And teaching means is that we take time with these individuals, not only to tell them about sin, but we teach them diligently, patiently, and lovingly exactly what it is that God expects man to do while we are here serving Him so that we can live with Him in heaven someday. Oh, I wish that all of us were like Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8, when God needed someone to go and to represent Him before Israel, Isaiah, he took it personal. And you know what he said? He said, "Hear my Lord, send me." He didn't stop to think, maybe I don't know what to say. He didn't stop to question, what if they don't listen to whatever it is that I've got to say for you, Lord? But instead, Isaiah had a fire burning within him, and he says, "Here am I, Lord." Not over there, but Lord, here am I. Send me. And if every Christian, if every member here at East End, if all of us were like Isaiah, friends, we would grow spiritually and we would continue to grow numerically. And we're seeing that here. But can you imagine if every one of us practiced as Isaiah did during the time in which we read of here in Isaiah 6 and verse 8? We wouldn't have enough seats. We would be looking at maybe selling our building and moving to a place where we could build a bigger building if we would launch out in the way in which God expects us to launch out outwardly, as well as if we would teach inwardly in the manner in which God expects us to do. You see, God tells us that if you and I will teach His Word as He commissions us to do, it's not going to go out in vain, but rather it's always going to come back productive. Why? Because that's the way in which the Word has been designed. And while it may not produce a soul that never knew Him, it will develop greater things even within us. It's going to accomplish great things if you and I will dig into it and teach it as God expects us to do. But God says is that He will give an increase to our teaching. Friends, whenever God says that He'll give an increase, we shouldn't question that. Amen? But rather, we need to understand that we need to accept the source. And God is the source behind this. And God doesn't lie to us. God promises us salvation if we live faithful to Him. We have to live with assurance of that, correct? But whenever it comes to our teaching, we ought to say, God says, if I throw the seed out, and if I'm doing all that I can possibly do, not only to sow the seed out, but if we're also doing what we can to water that, is that God is going to give an increase. So today, as I think about the lesson, the Bible being God's inspired, complete, inerrant Word, and God's requirement of you and me to teach, I ask each and every one of us today, can God count on you? Can God count on you to personally study, to personally teach yourself about His message? You see, friends, you can go to school all day long. The teacher, you can stand in front of the teacher and the teacher lecture all day long. But at the same time, if you don't go home and re-look at what it is that has been taught, if you don't go home and do the homework, you're not going to get anything out of it. And the same is true whenever we come to worship services. We must be here in order to hear God's Word proclaimed, and as well as to worship Him according to the other measures, by singing, to partake of the Lord's Supper, by giving, through prayer. But at the same time, we need to understand is that God wants us to spend more time in His Word than just here. We ought to be people who read and study His Word every single day, like the Bereans. I've said this before. And other preachers and teachers who searched the Word daily to find out whether the things that they were being taught were indeed true to the Word of God, to His message. And for that reason, I want to encourage you every single day to take the message that I teach and make sure that it lines up with the Word of God. But friends, not only to study what it is that I teach or what others teach, study in depth. Do all that you can possibly do, not only from time to time as the new year rolls around. It's hard for me to believe we're almost halfway through this year, amen? But a lot of times people will say, get on a program that reads the Bible through within a year. And that's admirable. I admire you if you do that. But get on a program that digs into the Bible. I don't care if you read it through in a year. But make it a point to where you're digging into the Scripture and that you're digging out the meat that is in God's Word, that you will understand it through. And you can even do that and still get through it in a year if you'll commit enough time every single day to read and study the Bible. So can God count on you to personally study His message so that your faith will be as it ought to be? But also, can God count on you to diligently teach those who are in your home, those that you are responsible for. As fathers, we are obligated by God to train up or to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And dads, can God count on you, on us, to do what He expects us to do and what our families need us to do in order to bring them up, in order to rear them to a point to where they not only believe in God, but so that they have a faith that is rooted and grounded in the truth. I remember as a young boy, my mother, my dad didn't do a whole lot in teaching us about God's Word. Now, I will say, whenever I was baptized, my dad bought me a prayer book on how to offer prayer. And probably, and I'll tell a little story here, the night after I was baptized, I went to services and our song leader for the night called on me to offer prayer. And he says, I'm going to ask our new brother, Kevin, to offer prayer tonight. And I said the prayer, and I don't even remember what I said. The next week, my dad bought me a prayer book. So, I probably needed it. But I remember as a young boy, my mother sitting diligently reading God's Word to me and to my siblings. And not only reading from the Bible, but also reading the story Bible books and sharing those words with us, wanting us to know God and understanding not only for us to know God then, but so that God would be a very vital part of our lives whenever we went out of the home. Can God count on you to diligently, every single day, to take time to teach those who are under your care, under your roof, in your home? But friends, also, can God count on you to willingly teach within the body of Christ? We have a problem universally in the church. Every time that a quarter rolls around for teaching classes, we have a problem in the Lord's church trying to get people to teach in our classes. Every place I have been, even over to school, at Carnes, I don't think they have it as bad as what they used to, my understanding, but trying to get people to teach in classes, they say it's just like pulling eye teeth. I don't know what pulling eye teeth is. I think it's kind of painful. It's difficult. And it shouldn't be like that, amen? We ought to be people who say, here am I. I'm willing and ready. Put me in there. I can't wait to get in and to communicate God's Word to the kids or even to a young adults class, guys. I can't wait. I'm motivated to get in. We shouldn't be a part of the rule, amen? We ought to be the exception at East End. Whenever I hear brethren talk about, we can't get people to teach, I ought to be able to speak up and say, we don't have that problem at East End. We have to turn teachers away. Wouldn't that be great if we had that problem? Or put two or three in the classroom so that we're giving people those opportunities that they're seeking and starving for to teach. Can God count on you to step up here at East End willingly, not being forced into it, but rather willingly to teach the body of Christ? We need that here amongst us in very big and real ways. But friends, also, can God count on you to be ready to teach lost souls about God's plan of salvation? I love summertime. You know that, don't you? A lot better than winter. I can stay cool before I can get hot. I can go into room air conditioner and cool off in no time at all. My hands stay cold all the time anyway. And though at the same time, when summertime rolls around, we find all kinds of things that we would rather go do than what? Than things around the house to begin with, right? It's a lot better to go play than it is to work around the house. But friends, the greatest thing that we neglect is reaching out to the lost and dying world. There's nothing at all wrong with reaching out and doing those things that are fun. We need those. In fact, I'm pointing out here to Carl. Carl will want to keep you to a kayak trip before too long. We need those times of fellowship with one another. But at the same time, we are saved to reach out and to save others. I know God does the saving in Christ, but friends, we have an obligation, a role to play in all of that. to get busy in the work and to say, to admit to ourselves if we're not doing those things or if we can do more, to say, you know, I'm going to commit to these things. And in class, I said that in Indiana, I was riding from Paola to Mitchell, and between the two is Orleans. And as I rode through Orleans, there was a denomination. And if a denomination can do this, and there's nothing wrong with this, so we can mimic it, if you would, at whatever level we want to, they had signs in their yard that said, I love my church. If you want to put a sign in your yard that says, I love East End Church of Christ, that's okay. Go do it. But every day we ought to be going out to the lost world and saying, I love my church, the Lord's church, because of what God has done for me and is doing for me, and because of the good people and the family that we have in the brotherhood. And you and I will have amazing opportunities to teach people about God's Word who right now have no hope if Christ were to come. You see, the church is a teaching institution. The Bible is the Word of God. But friends, if we take it beyond here and close it and lay it on a table throughout the course of the week, it does us and it does no one else any good. It must be taught. It must be studied. It must be communicated every single day to ourselves and to the lost, to our home and to the church, in order for God to be glorified and to be pleased. This morning's lesson has not so much been about becoming a Christian. There's been angles of that in there. But about being a Christian. Yet at the same time, the invitation is always open to those who are lost in sin and desire relationship with God, who would desire to confess Christ to be the Son of the living God and submit themselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. If you're here this morning, you're subject to this call, we invite you with His invitation.